Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff Malinoff. With me once again is my good buddy, Mark Souza.
Woo! Good buddy.
I don't know why that made me laugh, but woo! Anyways, we got a lot to talk about in this beautiful world we love of football. We got Week 6 matchups to talk about, as well as Sunday Night Football Classic between the Chiefs and the Patriots. We're also going to preview Monday Night Football between the 49ers and Packers. And then we'll talk about the wild week of college football that we had. Let's go on with Sunday Night Football to start with. Kansas City Chiefs fall to the New England Patriots in a classic 43-40 win matchup. And when you look at this game, really it was a sight to behold. There were so many passing yards, so many rushing yards. This was just an all-out offensive powerhouse of a game.
Yeah, it was everything that this game, it lived up to the hype, exactly.
What it needed to be.
Exactly. It lived up to the hype. We were expecting a heavyweight battle in there in Foxborough Stadium, and we got it. We got Mahomes, we got Brady, we got Kareem Hunt, we got Sony Michel, we got Tyreek Hill, we saw a little bit of Edelman, we saw Gronk, we saw Josh Gordon, Kelsey. I mean, we saw it all. We saw 83 points scored. I think we saw the AFC preview for the AFC Championship. In my opinion, these are the best two teams.
You think this is going to be the AFC preview? This is the AFC Championship, or at least a divisional round game.
Yeah. I think we'll see these teams play each other again this year. Obviously, it depends on where they match up and where they fall in the playoffs, and assuming both make the playoffs. But statement game for New England, as I think that their season is back on track after that kind of sloppy start to their season. Now they're healthy. Now they have players back like Edelman that make a difference. They acquired Josh Gordon. He seems to be acclimating well. And of course, they got Gronkowski to go along with Sony Michel, the rookie, who just keeps getting stronger and stronger every game. It just seems like Brady is more comfortable than he has been in the last few weeks. Last night really showed that. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Brady was like, it shows how good Brady still is at 41 years old and why he's still considered one of the greatest quarterbacks, not just in the NFL right now, but of all time. Gronkowski, he came in clutch with a perfect throw to Gronkowski at the end of the game to shut up the Gronkowski field goal, as well as just all in general, just staying cool under pressure. We talked about this earlier, but the Chiefs scored way too soon for Tom Brady to drive down the field. They gave him way too much time. I think that was the downfall for the Chiefs in this game.
Yeah, and it's one of those games where it just felt like even early on that the team with the ball last was going to win. Just because,
especially if it's Tom Brady.
I think there was two punts in the game. There was
one punt.
One total?
One total punt in almost 1,000 yards total offense.
Yeah, so it looked a lot like the Super Bowl last year, don't you think?
Offensively, absolutely.
So, yeah, both quarterbacks played particularly well. Mahomes made a couple mistakes that New England were able to capitalize on. But overall, I thought it was an impressive performance from the young quarterback, as we saw him go behind by two scores in Foxborough and then lead his team back. They battled hard, and I thought that Mahomes showed a little bit of tenacity there. It wasn't his best game as a pro, but he definitely put his team in a position to win. He got his team 40 points.
The defense just didn't step up when they needed to.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the Chiefs are... We talk about the 49ers being a very injured team. The Chiefs have four safeties that are out.
Yeah.
Like, they're using guys off...
Huge, do you think that's going to be a huge factor in when they go to the playoffs? When there's...
Absolutely, absolutely. I think they would be a tougher team. They would be a tougher team if they had guys like Eric Berry available to use, but... without that, without the experience back there, that's their weak spot. And I think that they will have to score points. Their offense will have to be perfect, especially in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. When they play teams like the Patriots, maybe Baltimore, maybe Pittsburgh, other teams like that, they're going to have to be on their A game because we know that the Chiefs' defense is going to be vulnerable the entire season.
Absolutely. And we talked about this in the past podcast. Andy Reid and just the Chiefs in general have had this MO of starting off as the best team in the NFL and ending up as like wounded ducks when it comes to the post and entering the postseason with a barely a 9-7 record or 10-6 record, starting off as a 5-0, 6-0, even 9-0 teams. Do you see this as a possibility for this team, or do you see this as a different type of team than we've seen before?
You know, it's going to be something that everyone's going to talk about, and it's a valid question because you said it before. We've seen Andy Reid teams start off super hot and then fade, right? So I think this year is different. I think it's different because I think last year, especially when we look in particular to last year's team, I think with Alex Smith, they were playing a little bit above their head last year. I think Kareem Hunt was still kind of a running back that teams were trying to figure out because he was a rookie. They didn't really know how to stop him. And then we saw their offense kind of take a lull there in the middle of the season, which really contributed to their...
It was more than a lull. It was a big drop.
Sure, sure. And then they kind of figured it out at the end. I mean, ultimately, they lost in the playoffs, but their offense was better at the end of the season than it was in the middle. But I think it's different now because I believe that Mahomes is a good player. I don't think that he's a flash in the pan. I don't think that he's a one-read quarterback. He brings a lot to the table in terms of athleticism, but I don't think he relies on his athleticism to be good. He's very accurate. He can throw the ball from the pocket.
Better knock on wood and not jinx him.
But I think that, like, I know people compare him to Kaepernick because they both have cannon arms and they're both super good athletes, but I think that he possesses something that Kaepernick could never figure out, and that was how to read defenses and how to see plays develop before they happen.
He's
and
a
how
smarter
to,
quarterback.
And he throws players open. He throws players open, whereas Kaepernick would make the pass as if a player was open, but he wasn't exactly throwing players open, quote-unquote, like the best do.
Like
you
making
know?
Plays.
Yeah, like guys like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Like if there's a foot... If there's a foot difference between the defender and the wide receiver, those type of quarterbacks can figure it out. And I think Mahomes is that type of quarterback. And I think that teams can say that they'll figure him out or they can get tape on him. But I also think that he's improving as a quarterback too. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, of course. Your first season as a quarterback, you have the advantage of no tape and the unpredictability when it comes to, excuse me, when it comes to the unpredictability of just being a quarterback who also is can be mobile.
And look at the offense. I mean, we talk about...
No, it's a great offense. We talk about Mahomes.
Bill Belichick is one of the best game plan coaches that there ever has been. Would you agree with that? Yes. Last night, they decided that they were going to take away the middle of the field. And what happens? Tyreek Hill still has a killer game. Kareem Hunt goes off last
Tyreek
night.
Tyreek Hill's a beast in one. It was just a different machine.
They were playing two high safeties. They were playing over the top of Kelce. Kelce's still had a decent game.
Well,
they still found the way to get
that the Patriots' defense is not as good as it used to be.
There's
huge
absolutely
holes
not.
In that defense.
There's definitely... They're not a great defense. Neither defense last night is a very good defense. I give the edge to the Patriots slightly because of the
Well, they
Chiefs.
Won, so give it that.
Well, I mean overall, like looking at their season... Patriots have a little bit of a better defense, but they also are coached better on that side of the ball. But what my overall point was that the Patriots did everything they could to make the Chiefs go away from what they do best, and they still found a way to put up all that offense. They couldn't stop Tyreek Hill. They couldn't stop Kelce for the most part. They definitely didn't stop Kareem Hunt. So it's hard to stop this team in Kansas City, and credit to the Patriots. I know we're talking about the Chiefs a lot, like they won the game, but I think that last night showed that the Chiefs are for real, even though they lost.
Well, I think we're talking a lot about the Chiefs because they had...
They're the contender, right? It's a champion versus a contender,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. We all know how good the Patriots are. We've talked about it for the last 15 years.
Yeah, more probably.
Actually, 17 years. So 2001 was...
a long time.
2001 is when they won those first Super Bowl of five, and out of nine appearances? Something ridiculous number. Anyways, I do agree with you on the fact that the Chiefs seem like the real deal, but I'm not entirely sold yet because we've seen this before.
Uh-huh.
It's like the definition of insanity. It's the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
I was going to make this a bet, but I don't want to. I'm just going to ask
I'll just ask you. Okay, go over it.
Do you think the Chiefs will be at minimum 12-4?
Oof, 12-4.
They have it.
At minimum?
They play Denver. They play the Chargers. You know, there's some decent teams in their division. It's not necessarily a cakewalk division.
Give me 11-5.
So you'll take the under of 12-4.
I'll take the under.
So you think, because they're 5-1 right now.
I know.
So you think they're going to go 6-4 the rest of the way?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I'm not saying that's wrong or anything.
It's a logical statement.
I think that they're a 12-4 team at minimum, to be honest with you.
Wait,
yes.
Do you see them like 14-2 or 13-3?
I see them at... I would say 12-4 is probably the sweet spot, and then I would say that I can see them 13-3 more than I can see them 11-5, if that makes sense.
I see what you're getting at, just how good that team is overall.
Can I tell you their next games?
Oh, enlighten me.
I'll just do their next four, okay? Because they're 5-1 right now.
Okay.
They play the Bengals at home, Sunday Night Football next week.
Okay.
Then they play the Broncos at home. Okay. Then they play the Browns in Cleveland.
Okay.
Then they play Arizona in Arizona. I see four wins okay. right there.
Say it again. I'm going
to
say
home
win
to the Bengals.
Win.
Home to the Broncos.
Win.
Away to the Browns.
I'm going to say lose.
After the Browns game yesterday?
They're going to bounce back.
Okay. Away to the Cardinals.
Win. So a 3-1 minimum.
There,
I honestly see a 4-0 also, but I can see a 3-1 minimum.
Okay.
They won't lose. We'll say
3-1.
Okay.
Okay. You ready for the next few games?
Okay, go for it.
Rams.
Lose.
That game is in Mexico City. Chiefs.
I'll say the Rams are the better team
okay.
in this situation.
So that you have them at 3 losses right now, is that right?
Yes.
Because you just said 2. Okay. Raiders in Kansas City.
I'll give Kansas City the win on that one.
Ravens in Baltimore.
Ravens have been known for playing against great. When they play against great teams, they play
win
great,
or lose.
They play. I'll give Kansas City the win.
Chargers and Chiefs in L.A.
I'm going to give Chargers the win on this.
Okay,
one.
So you have them now at 4 losses.
Yeah.
Chiefs at home against the Seahawks.
What week is this now?
This is a Sunday night football game, week 16.
I'll give them the win.
Week 17. Now, this is interesting because we don't know if the Chiefs will be playing to win this game, right?
Right, that's why I'm considering
week 17, the Raiders in Oakland.
I'm going to give Oakland the win, and they're good because...
At this point, they might not have Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, or Khalil Mack.
But listen to me. Can you just listen?
We're listening,
they're going
Jeff.
To be benching. If they're already going to be claiming the AFC West by this point, they will be benching all of their starters and resting everybody.
But then they'll be 12-4.
No, they had 4 losses by then. They'll have 5. That'll be 11-5.
I don't think so.
Yes, we just talked. You just said they had 4 losses going into week
you
17.
Gave them the rant. Oh, yeah, you gave the Browns a win. Come on, man.
No, I said a 3-1 minimum. No, I didn't say just the Browns, but 3-1 minimum in that
okay.
span.
All right, we'll see what happens. There's a lot of football to be played. They could, you know, suffer a setback, but maybe their defense will get a little bit better. Who knows? So,
but they've known to lose to very beatable teams in these situations because last year they
yeah.
were just this good, if not better, like just at this momentum wise, and they lost to very easy teams.
Yeah, you're right. We could see a lot of things happen in the NFL. We've seen the Bills.
I've heard people say, but this is Patrick Mahomes, not Alex Smith. I've heard that from people, close people to me. And I'm not sold yet. You gotta prove to me that you cannot have this downslope.
We will see.
Every time we've seen this downslope.
We will see what happens. Excuse me there. I wanted to ask you.
Ask away.
So let's focus now on the Patriots. Is Rob Gronkowski being phased out of this offense, or what's going on there?
I think he's just covered too much, and they're just trying to find other options and use him as bait for other players to get open.
He ends the day with the most yardage on the team in terms of the receivers.
He's still a go-to. He's still, like, when you need a clutch moment, he'll be there.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know if teams are just taking away his effectiveness, or if maybe he's getting a little bit older, because he has been banged up throughout his career.
That's what I was about to mention. He's also injury prone. I don't think they want to risk a further injury.
He's broken bones. He's had back problems. Like, the guy is definitely one of the most beat up players at his age.
I think they're just trying to make his load less heavy and make sure he stays healthy throughout the whole season. Has he finished the season, played all games, every game?
I mean, it just seems like he's always carrying some sort of injury, you know?
Yeah.
We saw the Patriots, and we've seen it this year, kind of focus more on a running attack. And they use the run to set up the pass a little bit more, in my opinion, than they have before. They run the ball 38 times as a team yesterday for a 4.6 average, which leads to 173 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground, including a rushing touchdown by Mr. Tom Brady.
Sony Michel does get enough credit. He deserves a lot of credit for that.
But did Sony Michel have a better touchdown run than Tom Brady yesterday?
Tom Brady looked like he was going in slow motion.
It took him 5 seconds to run 3.5 yards.
Did you time this?
The defender was like begging Tom Brady to run, and he was like, I don't want to do this. Okay, fine. So
Tom Brady, like, everyone says he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and I'm one of those people that agree with that. He is not the greatest athlete.
He is not a gazelle.
He's not an athlete.
You would never call him a gazelle, right?
He's probably one of the most intelligent quarterbacks, and I can put that. But when it comes to athletes, he's on the bottom.
Before we go to break, and I know we have to, and then when we come back, we'll talk about Week 6, the other games that happened yesterday. Are the Patriots back? Are they the team to beat in the AFC, yes or no?
Yes, they will still be. As long as Tom Brady's under center, this team is the team to beat in the AFC.
I agree. We'll come back.
When we come back, we'll talk about more about the Week 6 matchups, and we will see you there.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We just finished talking about the Sunday Night Football Classic between the Patriots and the Chiefs. Now we're going to move on to the rest of the NFL in Week 6. A lot happened. Blowouts, close games, backup quarterbacks throwing picks. Who am I talking about when I come to that? Let's just start with that. Who am I talking about when it comes to backup quarterbacks throwing costly picks that cost this team the game?
Nathan Peterman?
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner. Oh, my goodness. That was terrible.
Yes. He is not having a great start to his career.
Yeah, that's an understatement. His first start last year, he threw 5 picks in the first half. And in this situation, in this game, he comes in, the team has the lead, and he throws 2 pick sixes.
It was
both terrible throws, mind you. He threw one
It was like watching a bad accident, right? You like, can't take your eyes off of it.
Yeah. But also, I can't point out, his second pick was the most awful throw I've ever seen.
Egregious.
Because he threw it across his body, opposite side of the field, didn't even reach his the receiver. It went farther than his receiver, went into the hands of the defensive back, who scored the touchdown. I could have caught that and ran
yeah,
back.
Yeah, a minute 20 left in the game, and you throw a pick six to lose. That's just
I could have caught that and ran it back, and I'm slow and short.
I don't know. I can say that you're short, but I don't know if you're fast. But I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
so,
I'm not super slow, but I don't think I could outrun.
Are you faster than Tom Brady?
Probably. I think a lot of people are faster than Tom Brady.
Ooh. We'll see if we can get
what
Tommy.
Didn't he run like a maybe six in the 40?
We'll see if we can get Tom Brady on the show. Maybe we'll get him out here.
Yeah, that's so easy, too. This is like a phone call.
Hey, he's from the Bay Area. We're not too far.
Yeah, but he lives in New England. He lives in the New England area.
Yeah, he's got a house in L.A., too.
And he's married to a supermodel, so I don't think he has time for us.
I think he can fit us in.
If you can get him, by all means, try.
I think we can get him. Anyways, so let's talk about the Texans. Another ugly win for them. They win again, though, so they get back to 3-3. What do you kind of make of their performance or I guess, like, their season outlook? Do you think that they're a contender for a playoff spot now?
That's all.
All of a sudden, that AFC South is not looking so hot with Tennessee and Jacksonville both losing yesterday.
I still see Jacksonville taking the AFC South.
Right. I think so, too, but it's still wide open, you know?
We're almost wide open. Okay. If anyone likes that song, I'm with you on that. Not with you, but I can understand.
So we both took the Texans in that game.
Did we? We were both right.
Yeah.
Shockingly. So. Well, Josh Allen, they seem to have the game. They seem they kept with Josh Allen. I think they have that game won. If yeah. Josh Allen stays in the game.
It was 20-13.
As soon as I saw him come in, the backup, I'm not even going to say his name, come into the game, Peterman cost him the game.
So I had Texans 20-10. You had Texans 17-14. We both got it right. Let's move on to the Falcons.
What was this?
It was 20-13.
I was close.
I was closer.
What was yours?
20-10. I was off by 3. You were off by 4 points.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Buccaneers and the Falcons. Falcons get
the
win.
Before we talk about the actual game, what was our predictions?
Well, I'm doing it by game.
Score-wise. That's what I was talking about.
I said 20-10, and you were 17-14.
That was the Bills and Texans. I'm talking about the
Falcons and Bucks. I had Falcons 38-28. You had Falcons 28-20. It was 34-29 Atlanta.
We were relatively close.
Yeah, so we both got it right there.
I don't think any of us would have guessed 29 points. Let's get real here.
Yeah, so we both got it right there. So let's talk about the game. Falcons, they get right. They needed this win to get back on track. 2-4 now. Matt Ryan had a big day. Julio Jones had a big day, but again, doesn't see the end zone. What was your takeaway from this game for the Falcons?
Julio Jones, is my take, had a fantastic game and still no touchdown. That's going to be frustrating, no?
Yeah, no, we're heading into about halfway through the season. He still has not scored.
But he's leading the league in receiving yards.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
I don't think that's ever happened before. Where
he's great until the red zone.
I don't think that's ever happened before where a player leads the league in receiving yards and has zero touchdowns.
I just think I think it's coaching, man. I think that if you can't find a way to get your best player, you know, on an island in the red zone. Like, there's got to be a way that you can get him in a one-on-one situation because he'll win those situations most of the time.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But bottom line is, like, no touchdown speaks for itself. Like, he needs to get that in the end zone regardless of how the offense is run. He should still be able to get open or at least catch the ball when he's covered because he's had multiple shots in the end zone by Matt Ryan and still hasn't gotten it done.
So let's talk about the Bucs. Jameis Winston, he had a decent game. What's your takeaway from this game for the Bucs side?
Jameis Winston is the number one quarterback. He solidified that number one spot, in my opinion.
No more Fitzmagic. It's all over,
Fitzpatrick had a good run, but this shows that Jameis Winston is their starting quarterback, and he is the guy for the job.
Yeah, Bucks come up short. I think we kind of saw it coming that it would end this way. But moving on, Steelers and Bengals in probably the most intriguing matchup of the morning games or the early afternoon games.
We both got this wrong, didn't we?
We both got this wrong. So the actual score was Pittsburgh 28, Cincy 21. I had Cincy winning 31-27. You had Cincy winning 24-14. So we were both incorrect. So let's talk about this game. What's your takeaway for the Steelers?
They might not need Le'Veon Bell.
Well, they'll be getting him back, it sounds like.
Well, he still has not reported in, and he said he would report back next week. So he's taking his sweet old
time. They have a bye week.
But Connor did rush for over 100 yards, 111 yards total. And that shows that like they can get the job done without him. And with the great receivers they have in Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown, this team is still dangerous.
Yeah. Would you say right now, would you say that they're the third best team in the AFC?
Would
you put the Chiefs ahead and the Patriots ahead at this point? Maybe the Ravens?
I put them ahead of the Ravens.
Okay. So they're probably in your top three? If we did it all AFC,
AFC is pretty weak, so yeah, I would say that.
Okay. So what's your takeaway for the Bengals?
They need a lot of work.
They lose, but they're 4-2.
Their defense, yeah, they can talk trash and all that, but bottom line is they need to get the job done when the game's on the line, and they did not get the job done. The defense lost them this game.
Yeah, I think they could have scored a little bit more offensively, but
When the game's on the
line,
you got to come in clutch, and there's a lot of non-clutch plays that happen.
I will say I was a little disappointed in Cincinnati's offense, though. Pittsburgh's defense is not very good, and they didn't do enough. They didn't run the ball enough. They didn't score enough points. Like wouldn't we expect that they would have to score more than 21 to win this game?
Yes, but again, like the old saying, defense wins championships. Defense should have won them this, or at least kept the game tied in this situation and kept it overtime, give their offense a chance to win this game. But this was a very, especially on the last drive of the game, this is a very poor defensive effort by the Bengals.
So the Bengals, they lose, but they are still 4-2. So let's move on to Chargers and Browns. The Chargers go into Cleveland. And they win big, 38-14.
I expected a close game, and I was very wrong.
Baker Mayfield had a really tough day, a game that he will soon forget.
No, he won't.
I had the Chargers winning 27-24. You had the Browns winning 13-10, which is a really poor prediction considering it was a high-scoring game.
Hey, one of them got 10 points.
It was 14.
Oh, was it 14? I thought it was 10.
38-14.
They must have scored a lick of garbage.
But I got this one right, Jeff, so I'll tally one for me there. So let's talk about it. What did you see?
Wait, slow it. Did you get the score right?
No, I got the game right.
Okay. 1 point then. If you get the game the score right, you get five
points.
No
one's getting the score exactly right. But
that's why I said 5 points.
Let's talk about it. Chargers, what's your takeaway for them?
For the Chargers, nothing but give the ball to Melvin Gordon. He can come in clutch for you, and this team can make noise if they make the postseason.
That outside toss, outside run that they kept going at Cleveland with just annihilated that defense. They weren't ready.
I can see them either. They might steal the AFC West or make a wild card spot.
Yeah, the Chargers are definitely a contending team for a playoff spot, absolutely, especially in the AFC. What's your takeaway for the Browns? Back to being the Browns?
I think so.
Getting crushed at home is pretty bad.
This kind of proves they need a lot of more work to do. They're not there yet. They're getting there to an elite spot. Maybe not an elite spot, but a contending spot. But they still need a lot more work to do.
We talked about Mahomes. Maybe he'll suffer a setback because teams will have tape on him. I think we might see that with Baker Mayfield now that he's had a couple games. What do you think about that?
I think so.
Might be going through a rough patch. We'll see.
Possibly. I'm not going to take him out of the game, take him out of the running of like having this bad start by any means. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say there is some concern.
Can we go to another game that you got completely wrong?
Go for it.
The Seahawks beat the Raiders 27-3.
Okay, how was I supposed to know that was going to happen?
27-3, the Seahawks beat the Raiders. You had a 15-12 Raiders win. I had a 24-21 Seattle win. So we thought that the game would be close, a three-point game, but it wasn't close. Seattle wins. What's your takeaway from this game from the Seattle Seahawks perspective?
I still don't think they're making the playoffs. I think this is just how bad the Raiders are right now. The Raiders are not even in the contention, in my opinion, for a playoff spot. This team,
Amari Cooper got crushed early on in the game. Sounds like he's also on the trade block.
Yeah, as well as Derek Carr. This team just has no direction whatsoever.
It's almost like they hired John Gruden and then decided they're going to just scrap
their
team.
Maybe John Gruden's thinking about tanking? And thinking about draft picks.
I have no idea what's going on.
Because they do have a first-round draft pick from the Bears to use, as well as their own.
We're hearing rumors now that Carr is available in a trade, that Cooper is available in a trade. Like, it's getting very interesting.
It's anybody's game.
It's going to be interesting to see their next home game, in fact.
That's what I meant. It's anyone's guess how this team will
The Raiders fall to 1-5. Their season's essentially over. So,
I think their season was over when they traded Mac.
What about from the Seahawks perspective, though? What do you think about this win?
I still don't see him as a playoff contender.
Wilson had another good game.
Yes, but there's still so many holes in that team. That team is a shell of it once was.
It was nice to see Doug Baldwin have a decent game finally for the first time.
Yeah, but there's too much holes in that team to really stand out, and I think this team.
But remember, they almost beat the Rams last week. An impressive game, and they lost, of course, but. You know, they're putting together some better games lately.
I still don't see a playoff team. I'm sorry.
I don't see it either because the NFC is tough, but Seattle can make some noise. We'll see. How about another game that you got wrong?
Sure.
The Chicago Bears lose to the Dolphins 31-28 in overtime. Jeff, you said the Bears are going to win 14-3, and I said Miami was going to win 20-17.
We were both wrong on the score, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I won.
Yeah, congrats. You want a cookie? Too bad I don't have one.
Yes.
I told you, too bad I don't have one.
Well, I want one.
Well, sucks for you.
Well, you can't offer something and then not come through.
Well, I just did.
All right, so what's your take?
What's marriage, then? What happens to divorce, then? That's the same exact premise.
What's your takeaway from the Bears' perspective in this game, losing to the Dolphins with Brock Osweiler as quarterback?
They obviously underestimated the Dolphins entirely. I don't think they took them seriously, and they just didn't show up. They thought this game would be a piece of cake, and they were gravely mistaken.
And what about from the Miami perspective? What's your takeaway from the Miami perspective? Is Brock Osweiler the man?
Oh, no.
Are we seeing the Brock?
Absolutely not. I'm sorry.
The Broctagon? Is that what they call him?
What? Who calls him that?
Step inside the Broctagon.
What, he's not a UFC fighter, and that sounds more like a Brock Lesnar quote than anything. No, Brock Osweiler is one of those. He can have one good game and 17 bad ones.
Okay, so Miami gets the win. Kenyon Drake tried to fumble the way the game
tried.
At the 1 yard line.
He didn't try. He just it happened.
Frank Gore goes over 100 yards. He's still going.
I think this is his last year, to be completely honest. I think he wanted to play in Miami because that was where his alma mater is.
Sure,
Miami,
that's where he's
University.
From. Yeah.
And this is just... He should retire as a 49er in
Miami. Do you think Miami is legit?
No. Not yet, anyways.
Do you think the Bears have now fallen back to earth after doing so well?
Give me another week.
Okay.
But also, I'm just trying to say, with Frank Gore, he should retire with the 49ers just because that was his best years. Like, that's where he became one of the top running backs in the league, in my opinion. So, that's where I think he should, like, maybe just get traded there, retire one-day contract type of thing.
All right.
But, you didn't let me finish?
Go ahead.
But I still believe Frank Gore is a Hall of Fame running back. But he's at the end of his run, and this is his last best game.
Last game before we take a quick break. Vikings and Cardinals, we both got this one right. You said 24-10. I said 30-13. It was 27-17.
I was close.
Yeah, so we're both really close there. What's your takeaway for the Vikings?
I won't take this game into effect of anything because it's the Cardinals, one of the worst teams in the NFL at the moment. And I would have to say that Kirk Cousins still struggled, and that's concerning. Even though the Cardinals do have a pretty good secondary, big questions come in my head of how this team's going to be doing the playoffs. Because I feel like they're still going to make the playoffs, but there's a big question of if they'll make it back to the
NFC title. Yeah, we'll see. They won by 10 points at home. I mean, yeah, they played a poor team, but they got it done. So they take care of business. They get back on track. Kirk Cousins again. Adam Thielen is consistent as anyone in football right now for the wide receiver.
Wide receiver in football right now.
Yeah, so great game for Thielen again. Vikings look good. Cardinals looked, I think they looked okay. They Rosen's trying to build on his rookie season, and I think it was a positive step yesterday for him, even though he took his lumps. But we'll see how they progress going forward. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we still have six games to get through from yesterday. And then we'll also talk about Monday Night Football, Niners and Packers right after this.
We will see you there. Hold on tight.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So you can check out the sports one, but listen to this one first, then check out the sports one. Anyways, we talked about week six already. We got six games in. We talked about the Sunday night football matchup between the Chiefs and Patriots. What a great game that was. We got six more games to go. What game are we on the next tally?
The Jets beat the Colts 42-34. Another high-scoring game by the Jets.
A surprisingly high-scoring game.
We both picked the Jets to win this game. We both
I was surprised by how points. How many points the Colts had, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, it was one of those games, and I think we're going to see this from here on out, where the Colts get behind, and then they, you know, rally behind Andrew Luck's arm, and he tries to lead them back. But at the end of the day, they're not as talented as their opponent, so they lose. I think these
Luck just needs help.
I think we're going to see about four or five more games like this from the Colts, where they're close in the score, but really not when you look at the game. When you analyze the game, it wasn't really that close.
Just Luck needs more help, is what I, like I said before. Like Luck is just, he has nothing around him. Like T.Y. Hilton's there, but he's out. He was out.
Yeah, absolutely. So
like, if Hilton's there, maybe they make this game closer, maybe even tie it. I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is, Luck needs help, and no one's giving him that help.
Yeah, so the Jets with Sam Darnold, they win again. They're now 3-3. We'll see how the rest of their season goes.
Do you see them as potential wild card?
I would say right now that they're on the outside looking in, but they've put themselves in a position to be in the mix for at least for a couple more weeks. Miami is still in the division ahead of them. You know, the Bills have been all right, like better than we expected. And, of course, the Patriots.
Better than we expected is a strong assumption. Like, they were tallied as the worst team in the NFL at the beginning of the season. Now they're inching their way back up, but after their performance, I still put them as one of the worst. I would put the Jets above the Bills.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. No question. So let's go to the Panthers Redskins. We both got this game wrong. 23-17.
Okay. After Redskins the performance win on Monday night, did we expect the Redskins to bounce back like this? I don't think anyone did.
No, very impressive win by the Redskins as their defense showed up, unlike Monday night, like you mentioned. Their defense did not show up against the Saints. It shows up against Cam Newton. Alex Smith, I thought, was impressive considering the fact that most of his weapons were injured. He had Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed and Richardson,
You can honestly say all his weapons were injured.
He had two receivers inactive. He had Chris Thompson, his favorite running back out of the backfield, inactive. But impressive win by the Redskins as Peterson struggles through a dislocated shoulder and ends up with a really good game.
He had 97 yards rushing, so that's impressive.
Really, really tough.
You know, it's kind of sad when you think of, 97 yards is good for Adrian Peterson. Back in only a few years ago, that would be a horrible game for him.
Yeah, but ultimately he gets it done. He's still playing tough. He's still a good player. Of course, it's not the same, but no, he's still really good. All right, so how about we talk about the Rams? They take care of business. It wasn't their prettiest performance. Jared Goff definitely didn't have a game to write home about.
But Todd Gurley did. Todd Gurley had more rushing yards than Jared Goff had passing yards.
I think this game, here's my takeaway for this game. So it's 23-20 Rams. My takeaway is it's not always going to be pretty for the Rams, but they found a way to win a game in cold weather in a game where Goff and the passing offense wasn't on fire.
Can we talk about that?
But they were able to run the ball.
Let's talk about that weather for a second. It was like an inch of snow on the field, and then as soon as the game starts, I was all excited. Like, yeah, snow game. No snow. It was gone. They took it away from me.
Yeah.
I was very sad.
Game starts, no snow on the ground.
Who doesn't love a snow game?
You don't expect it to be early October to see snow on the field, but things can happen.
It is Colorado in Denver. It's called the Mile High City for a reason.
Yep. So we saw the Rams take their act to a cold weather game. They're not really their offense.
They're still the best team in football in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive. You would expect them to, if it was normal conditions, probably put up 40 points on the Broncos. But I think that with the inexperience of playing in that kind of weather, especially for Goff, think about it. Goff went to Cal. He plays in LA. Like, he's not used to playing in weather at all.
No, of course not. But he did play as best he could, and he still got the job done in a win. Win's
so
a win.
What about the Broncos? Are you impressed by their loss? I mean, I know they lost at home, but
impressed by their loss.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's a moral victory, but I mean, they're playing tough. Like, you know, they're getting close in these games that maybe they shouldn't win, but I don't know.
You know, to be honest, this team is still a couple years away from going back to their Super Bowl form like they were in 2015. So, I say they're still in a rebuilding process. I don't see them in a playoff position, but anything you can look at as a positive, they played all right. They played in a relatively close game. They still gave up 200 yards rushing, which I would put as a big question mark on their defensive side. But again, this team is still rebuilding.
I know we talked about Nathan Peterman, but do we talk about the Texans and the Bills, or do we just talk about Peterman?
Okay. We just talked about Peterman.
So,
no, we started with it.
So we didn't really talk about the Texans. Did you see that Hopkins touchdown catch? That was incredible.
One-handed? Wait, was it?
No, it was two-handed, but it was like a bullet, and he had turned around, and he just snatched it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That was incredible.
He's a beast. He really is underrated for all things considered.
Yeah, that
I put him as a top five wide receiver in the league.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Probably higher.
Imagine like if Watson was on top of his game like he was last year, this team could be a very dangerous team. But Watson's just not the same as he used to be after that ACL tear.
Yeah, I don't know if it's him. It could be a combination of him plus, you know, he only played five or six games last year. Like he's still technically.
He could have had rookie of the year honors if he kept playing.
My point is that he's starting to have teams get tape on him, whereas maybe he's taking a step back. Maybe it's not his injury. Maybe it's other teams being able to game plan for him better, but we'll see how he adjusts going forward.
Okay. Any other games?
Yeah. What about Jacksonville getting blown out by the Dallas Cowboys? That was interesting.
Okay,
we both
got
that
wrong.
You know
what I think about that? Jalen Ramsey is jinxing his team. He keeps talking trash, and then every time he talks trash, his team gets killed. Just be quiet.
Yeah. Quiet 40-7. That's a just slap in the face to Jacksonville as they fall to 3-3.
Jalen Ramsey has talked trash in both games that they got destroyed in. So my question is, why not just let your play do the talking and stop talking? Because obviously your talking is causing
it's just hard to talk about opposing quarterbacks when your quarterback is Blake Bortles. Like,
really, though? It's Blake friggin' Bortles, and Dak Prescott, I feel like, is a better quarterback than Blake Bortles.
It was 40-7, but it still wasn't like a nice football game by the Cowboys. They played well. Their defense dominated this game for sure. I think that the Cowboys defense underrated.
The Jacksonville defense did nothing in no favors.
Jacksonville's defense is good, but they got beat a couple times by that run by the
Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, no, and Prescott.
Oh, and Prescott had some good rushing yards too. Granted,
by the run option, I mean he pulled the ball back a couple times.
Which Dallas should have done a long time ago.
Yeah, so Cowboys get the win. They go to 3-3. We'll see what their prospects look like going through. And then we have one last game to talk about. The Ravens and the Titans. Ravens win 21-0. 21-0. I said it was going to be 24-21. You said the Titans were going to win. What was your takeaway from this game from Baltimore's perspective?
The Titans are not as good as I thought they were. They did not improve.
They're the hardest team to predict, I swear. They beat the Eagles. They play well.
I thought they would improve from their playoff appearance last year because they were not very good going in their playoff game against Kansas City at all last year. But I thought you could only improve from that, and yet I don't know what to make of them.
Mariota had less completions than the Ravens had sacks. He had 10 completions. Ravens had team 11 sacks against Marcus Mariota.
That's unacceptable.
I don't know what to make of Tennessee. Their offense is a mess.
Tennessee's
they have Deion Lewis.
Going to do some sprints in practice.
They have Deion Lewis. They can't figure out how to use him. They have Corey Davis.
It's so easy to use him, though.
They can't get Corey Davis the ball. They can't get Henry in decent situations. So,
this team just doesn't have a direction offensively.
Yeah, so let's tally up the score real quick, Jeff.
Obviously, you won because you kept telling me I was wrong.
So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, correct?
Congratulations.
And you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, correct.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Awesome.
Ouch. Wah, wah, wah.
Okay, stop it. All right. Anything else to talk about?
No, we'll go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk about college.
All right, fine. I'll see you there. He's a jerk.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We just finished talking about the Week 6 matchups. Now we're going to go on to college football. And my oh my, there were a lot of upsets this week.
There was. It was a week in college football that shook things up in the rankings.
Yeah, it was a blender of shaking. Oh my.
A blender, huh?
Yeah, not just someone just shaking a bottle. It was a blender. I'll explain in a second.
But yeah, we saw LSU take care of Georgia. I think that was the most notable game of the weekend.
But by 20 points, that was the most shocking, I think.
Yeah, especially coming off of a loss. You know, LSU loses to Florida last week, but they handle the Georgia Bulldogs 36-16.
Yeah, I'll just name all the top 10 teams that lost. Number two, Georgia, obviously. LSU went to number five after that, but West Virginia lost 30-14 to unranked Iowa State. But we talked about this. Iowa State's known for their upsets over big top 10 or top 25 teams. This was a statement game because they won handily. So number six lost, number two lost. Number eight, Penn State lost to Michigan State 21-17. Number 7 Washington got upset by 17 Oregon, 30-27 in final overtime. Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Alabama, number 1, 3, and 5 respectively at the time, all won their games against their unranked opponents. Tennessee, unranked, beat number 21 Auburn, 30-24. I'll just name every ranked team that lost. 19 Colorado lost to USC, 31-20. 15 Wisconsin lost to Michigan handily, 38-13. 16 Miami lost to Virginia, 16-13. We talked about West Virginia. We talked about Georgia. We talked about Penn State. Then we have 21 Auburn. So each of those guys lost. 23 South Florida won. Ohio State won. Notre Dame won. Florida won. UCF won. Texas A&M won. Texas won. And Alabama.
A lot of close games, too. Even the ones, even the top 25 teams that won, like Central Florida, Notre Dame, very close.
Texas A&M won 26-23.
Texas wins by 6 over Baylor. I mean, even the games where...
There could have been a lot more upsets.
There could have been, yeah. So, crazy week in college football. I think we talked about it last week. I did say that I would be concerned about Iowa State if I was West Virginia, and... Iowa State won. It wasn't even that tough of a game.
Both agreed on that one, that's for sure. But do you want to hear the new top 25 that came out?
I would love to hear the new top 25 as we see some teams fall out.
Absolutely. So number one is still Alabama. Ohio State has moved from number 3 to number 2. Clemson is now number 3. Notre Dame has moved up to number 4. LSU went from 13 to 5. Michigan moved up to 6. Texas moved up to 7. Georgia moved down to 8, which is a big drop. Number 9 is Oklahoma. Number 10 is UCF. Do you want to hear the rest?
I think we should stop there and talk about it. Well, you mentioned that Georgia had a big drop to number 8 because they were number 2. I personally think that they didn't drop far enough. And
well, they played a good team in LSU.
They did, but they got blown out in that game. Their quarterback gets benched. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's tough for me to say that they shouldn't have fallen further because of how they lost. Not who they lost to. They lost to a quality opponent. But when you lose by 20 points and you're the number 2 ranked team in the country, and we're talking about an LSU team that just came off a loss, so they are beatable. It's not like they lost to another undefeated team. They get shut out at halftime, Jeff. They were down 16-0.
It was brutal.
Just ugly. I think they're fortunate to only be 8, in my opinion.
I also want to name the notable teams that are now out of the top 25 entirely. Colorado has been moved out of the top 25. Miami's out, as well as...
Wow, Miami drops more than 9 spots.
Miami's done. Miami's out.
Is Wisconsin still in?
Yes, they are. They're now 23. You know, I'm looking at the voting, the other receiving votes outside the top 25. Appalachian State has top 25 voting. That's incredible to me.
I still remember their win against Michigan a few years ago.
In 2007, I believe.
A few years ago.
It was a decade ago.
Was it really that long?
It was that long ago. It was still, I believe it's the greatest upset in college football history. It has to be, right?
Yeah.
A no team in Appalachian beating I think they were number 4 or 5, or maybe even 3 at the time.
It was a big one.
Michigan had national championship hopes.
Was it week one?
It was supposed to be a tune-up game for Michigan. Yeah. Michigan was up for the national championship, and they got lost at Appalachian in a great game, mind you.
So do you agree with the top 4 right now?
The top 4 being Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Notre Dame.
Yeah, do you think they're ranked right? Would you put them there if it was your ranking?
I would put Notre Dame at 3 and Clemson at 4, but...
Close.
Other than that, I would say yes.
Clemson was idle this week, right? They didn't play?
I believe they had a bye week.
Yeah,
I'll double check, though.
Yeah, they didn't lose. They didn't play. They play NC State next week, though. Number 16 NC State, who's also undefeated.
Yeah.
It's a big game for Clemson.
That's a statement game right there. If they lose this game, then no playoffs, I would say, obviously.
And you know what? New number 6 seed or number 6 ranked Michigan, they play Michigan State, who's 24 now. That's an interesting game.
If Michigan has a chance to sneak into the top 4, I think.
How about this?
Okay.
If Michigan loses a game... No. Hold on. If Michigan wins out...
Yeah.
And Notre Dame loses one game.
Or Clemson.
No, but I'm talking about just Notre Dame and Michigan.
Okay.
I think Michigan would finish higher in the rankings, even though Notre Dame beat Michigan and they'd both have one loss.
Depends on who Notre Dame lost to.
Right.
I think that's a big, like, let's look at the Notre Dame schedule.
They've actually pretty favorable. They've pretty much beat, I think USC is the only team that they have left.
Their next game is against Navy. If they lose that, then they're done.
So Notre Dame has played the bulk of their schedule already, as opposed to some of these teams haven't played the bulk, the big part, the meat of their schedule. So they play Florida State.
Florida State could have been good at this point, but now they're not.
They play Northwestern, Florida State, Syracuse, and USC. That's it.
USC could be their biggest challenge out of that.
They could be.
But I would definitely say that.
Although Syracuse is not a pushover, and Florida State has athletes. So.
Michigan could beat Ohio State, when they play in week 13.
Yeah, Notre Dame is going to play Navy this week, so it could be a game for their offense to really get back on track.
But if Michigan beats Ohio State and they win out, like, they're moving higher than the fourth spot if they beat Ohio State.
Yeah,
they might get number three.
You know, Alabama, they really haven't.
Alabama has such an easy schedule ahead of them.
They haven't played anybody, but they do play LSU in a couple weeks, so we'll see if that game.
LSU, but they play like Citadel.
And you know what's funny is that between Tennessee and LSU, they have a week off. Like, they get a week off. They get 2 weeks to prepare for LSU if they, you know, just to make their schedule look even better.
Like, they play Tennessee, then they play LSU. But then after that, they play Boston College. Then they play Citadel.
Ohio State, they still have Michigan State and Michigan left.
Yeah. Ohio State has a tough schedule. Alabama has an schedule ahead of them.
Clemson also doesn't play a ranked team except for an NC State this week. But if they win that game, every team they play that's currently on their schedule is currently unranked. So we'll see.
Well, I think though some of those teams can still be ranked by that.
Yeah, point. Like Duke's up there.
Like 25, 22.
Cool. So I think that's it for college football. But let's preview tonight's Monday Night Football matchup real quick before we are done. Niners, Packers. It probably won't be very exciting, but it could be exciting because you just never know sometimes.
Monday Night Football is magical.
What do you see tonight's game looking like? Give me a prediction.
Aaron Rodgers versus that 49ers secondary. I see Aaron Rodgers doing very well.
What about Sherman?
If he's not going to throw to Sherman, he's going to throw the other guy.
What if Sherman says, don't try me with a mediocre receiver like Cobb or Devontae?
You mean a sorry receiver?
Yeah.
Honestly,
don't you ever try me with a receiver like...
When you look at each game that the Niners have been in, Richard Sherman barely gets targeted. Like, his receiver barely gets targeted because he's covering him so tightly.
I think he only has like six passes against him all season.
Yeah. How is that not like an all-pro corner right there?
I mean, he's,
no one's throwing
he's playing really well, but the Niners are not
he's
winning
shut
games,
down.
So we'll
but
see.
That's not his fault.
Right.
That's the opposite side of the field and the safety's fault. Everyone else on the secondary is terrible except for Richard Sherman,
I think we
who's
should
carrying
take a look
that
tonight,
secondary.
See if he gets any throws against him. I'm assuming Rodgers will stay
one,
away.
Maybe two, my guess at least.
Do the Niners have a chance to win tonight? They're underdog by 10 points.
The Packers have played to like... Not their standard,
they haven't been
but the
playing great.
Yeah, they play.
They
play
vulnerable this year.
They play to the other team's standards. You know, they play how good the other team is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you think about Rodgers being? He had a setback this week. He sounds like he'll be wearing a bigger brace, and he probably will be affected more for his mobility.
With the defensive line for the 49ers is still, I would say, solid. Like DeForest Buckner is still a force to be reckoned with, and I don't think he can out. I don't think Rodgers could scramble away from Buckner if he gets through that offensive line. So there is a chance this game could be back and forth, but I still hand it to the Packers.
Yeah, and if you look at it, the Packers won against the Bears opening week 24-23. Then they tie the Vikings. Then they get blown out by the Redskins. Then they blow out the Bills, who didn't offer much resistance. But then they lose to the Lions. So
the 49ers are better than the Bills, though, in some ways.
I would
have C.J. Beathard over Peterman any day.
I don't think this game is going to be a blowout because I don't think that the Packers are fully healthy enough. I don't think they're healthy enough on offense to really put up like
this
40
is a game
points.
Of the injured reserves.
So what do you think the score will be? Give me your score and your key performer.
My key performer? George Kittle, probably the key performer in this game.
And score?
I'm going to give it to the Packers still. You know what? Richard Sherman is the key performer. What am I saying? Richard Sherman is that key performer.
Give me the score.
I still give it to the Packers, though. I give it 27 Let's go 27-24.
27-24. Okay. I see the Packers winning because they're at home. It's Monday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers usually does special things.
Do you think they're going to get destroyed? Do you think it's going to be a close game?
I don't think they'll get destroyed, but I think it'll be a score like 24-17 Packers.
The 49ers are still averaging around 20, 25 points a game. They're still playing really well in offense, so they're just not getting, they're just not stopping the defense on the defensive side. That's why I say 24. But do I see Mason Crosby hitting a game-winning field goal? I don't even know at this point.
Yeah, that's another storyline to take into account. If it's a close game and Mason Crosby has to make a kick, he is coming off the worst game of his career.
It's really incredible to doubt that guy because he's usually automatic. But
you
after
know
that last game,
it's a position.
In his head.
Kicker is a position in the NFL that if you have two terrible weeks back-to-back, you could be out of a job, even if you're Mason Crosby. Because, yes, he's been a solid kicker for them for some time, but he's also missed kicks that have been overlooked, too. And he's not Adam Vinatieri or some of these other guys who are almost automatic.
Super Bowls.
Mason Crosby's, if you look at it, his field goal percentage is amongst the NFL's lowest.
Well, as of right now, absolutely, because he missed, what, four field goals?
Yeah.
Two extra points?
But even historically, it's not high, and, you know, he hasn't made big kicks to win
he's
Super
never
Bowls.
Really, he's never really, like, called upon because Aaron Rodgers usually is doing
exactly.
something amazing, so he's not really he's not like Justin Tucker where it's like, okay, you need to kick the game winning field goal again, or Adam Vinatieri, you need to kick the game winning field goal again.
Yep. So I think that's it for this show. Join us tomorrow as we break down tonight's Monday Night Football game and talk about the NFL and college football for the matchups that are coming up for this week.
Yes, we will see you there.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.